Ed in Chester wants to weigh in. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning. I'm in Chester County, by the way.
Chester County. What's up, Ed? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I was listening, and the guy who was talking about Japan just got under my skin a little bit. I was in the Marine Corps and spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, and part of my tour was in Japan with my family. Now, in Japan, I was in Iwakuni, which is right outside of Hiroshima, where we dropped the big one. My teenage son, you know, he's a typical teenager, had his little misgivings. Not a real discipline problem. Well, yes, he was a discipline problem, but when he got to Japan, he got in for a shocker because he got sentenced to 6 months in a Hiroshima detention center eating fish heads and rice. But luckily, we were able to get him out of the country. But that country really conditions their youth, even. Jaywalking's against the law. They got CCTV all over the place. I mean, they condition their young not to commit crimes. And then as far as mental health goes, it usually gets caught in the teenage to 20-year-olds, and they send them off to institutions and even islands to get them reconditioned. So the discipline, a lot different over there in Asia. And most of the other Asian countries share the same kind of culture. Singapore, Thailand, China, they all wrap you up if you do something
well,
wrong.
First of all, thank you for your service as in the Marine Corps. Appreciate that. And number two is thank you for your input. Because as I was, explaining and kind of alluding to this whole time is that, we have either a mental health crisis or just a lack of, you mentioned discipline. I don't necessarily want to walk around in a society where we're being surveilled and we're afraid, to jaywalk, right? That was the example that you used. I'm not saying that's what we want to do, but you're setting the tone, you're setting the expectation, you're setting the example that, if you so far as stray outside the lines of a crosswalk across where you're not supposed to, you're going to receive, you're going to have to face some sort of consequences. So you're far less likely to commit these heinous crimes. The problem is how much freedom do we want to give up to prevent these bigger, crimes down the road? I think treating mental health, you mentioned it's easier to catch in these countries because of how they are. I think if we can maybe adopt some of those practices, from some of these other countries, we may be better off as a country ourselves. I don't know. I feel like as far as these gun crimes or really any crime, it comes down to something went wrong in your head to want to commit that crime. You know what I'm saying? Something went wrong upstairs. And that's what we have to address,
I think they just did it on the smaller level first. The teenagers, the rope them in, you can't jaywalk across the street or things like
right.
that. They actually put police right outside the schools during those periods to make sure everybody's disciplined. Then when you get to be an adult, no problem.
Right. You're basically trained. You're conditioned, as you said. You have that foundation of rules and conduct that becomes ingrained. Core beliefs, right? And a moral compass, too. And I'm not saying that that a surveillance state, closed circuit, all that, everyone watching every move is how I want to live. But just to ingrain those core beliefs and to ingrain those practices, good practices, healthy habits, wouldn't be a bad idea for us to do. And then, that starts in the home. And the problem,
Absolutely.
That we face here in the United States, breaking up the nuclear family. Both parents have to work. A lot of parents are now unfortunately relying on the schools to raise their kids. The government then obviously being tasked with parent. I mean, it's there are a lot of issues that are causing the rise of this mental illness that we're seeing in the United States. And maybe we should take a look at some of these other countries, not necessarily adopt the surveillance state type of things they have going on over there, but the practices that they employ to make sure that their children grow up and have that level of discipline that kind of is ingrained in them. Thanks for the call, Ed. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your service. I really appreciate it. Moving on to Leon County Sheriff's Department, the sheriff's office out there. They came out and addressed the fact that the shooter was the son of a sheriff's deputy. Let's go to Cut 7A with the Leon County Sheriff's Office.
And we understand that you all have been devastated because of this person's actions. The question as it relates to who is the shooter. The shooter is 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner. And he's the son of a Leon County Sheriff deputy. Our deputy Eichner, has been with the Leon County Sheriff's Office for over 18 years. She has a tremendous job that she's done. Her service to this community has been exceptional. Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene. And we are continuing that investigation into how that weapon was used and what other weapons perhaps he may have had access to.
You hear, obviously, a tough moment for that gentleman, Leon County Sheriff's Office, having to essentially admit that not one of their own committed the attack. It wasn't one of their own, but it was the child of one of their own. And what does gun control solve this? Was that an illegal firearm? I mean, it wasn't supposed to be on, you know, on school grounds. We understand that, but if this was the firearm of a Leon County deputy, you know, who has had nothing but exceptional service, how does gun control stop this one? Did she leave her weapon unattended because she gave too much trust to her son? I guess you can say that. I guess you could say that. Yeah, Tallahassee Police Department Chief Lawrence Revel told reporters that the suspect, the shooter, invoked the Fifth Amendment. The weapon was one that the deputy had previously used, and said that officers are usually allowed to purchase their prior service weapons, and they believe that the shooter acted alone. How does gun control stop this? Is my question. The only way you can say that gun control stops this is if you infringe on the Second Amendment again, or even more. Right? If this was a legally purchased firearm from this, I mean, you want to talk about maybe making it not easy for your kids or folks who are not supposed to be carrying that type of firearm to have access to it in your home. That's fine. That's again, personal responsibility. I mean, sheriff's deputies are going to have firearms and they're allowed to legally purchase those firearms. It's a heartbreaking situation. It's a tragedy. No doubt. It should not be happening. And I believe something that we discussed with the, you know, previous callers about treating mental health in this country. I believe securing schools properly, adequately, with armed security. Again, if you know that there's armed security protecting a place, you're not, why, you know, as I believe it was Sean in Philadelphia, why don't we see shootings at courthouses? Why don't we see shootings? We've seen a couple, you know, on military bases. We don't see people coming from off base lighting up. You know, why don't we see that? Because they're protected. Because the use of deadly force to protect those places is authorized in many cases. Not at schools. Not a strong enough deterrent. There's not a strong enough deterrent at your schools or where your children go to school, period. There is not a strong enough deterrent. There is not a strong enough safeguard that can convince a criminal who is hell-bent on doing what happened at FSU or at Covenant or at that school in Georgia or Columbine or any of these other places that this has happened. Michigan State. There is not a strong enough deterrent to deter the criminal. There are in other places. It works in those other places. Why not the schools? We don't want our schools to feel like a prison. But do you want your kids to be safe? No one says that these armed guards have to walk around with AK-47s like they're guarding, you know, Al Capone. Like it's a maximum security prison. Just knowing that there is armed security authorized to use deadly force to neutralize a threat. Right? Just knowing that will tell many criminals, many people who want to do what these school shooters are doing, will tell them they don't really have a chance of succeeding. The only thing that'll happen is they're probably going to wind up dying. They may not even be able to take the life of one of the armed guards. Because remember, if you're using these armed guards that are trained, veterans, police officers, etc., they've got skills that these school shooters don't have. The answer is not gun control. The answer is treating the mental health epidemic in this country. And the answer is giving the schools the security that courthouses have, that politicians have. Secure these places. Take it seriously without taking away and infringing on our Second Amendment rights. All right, we'll be back to start. We're going to get into the Abrego Garcia drama because this whole Maryland man thing has really unraveled on the Democrats. Lots of information has come out about this guy, their new hero, Kilmer Abrego Garcia. So we'll be on with more with that in just a little bit. You're listening to 1210 WPHT. Sean Farish filling in for Kale and Company up until 10 a.m. where we hand it off to the great Kathy Barnett. We're back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Touching on the school shooting in Florida State University. The sheriff's deputy's son. Talking about gun control. How do we stop it from happening in the future? And I am totally sold on protecting our schools with armed security. It's a stronger deterrent than we have now. Places with armed security don't usually experience this type of violence because there's armed security. It's a strong enough deterrent. It's you know, you can go around, we can chase our tails over and over and over again. And this seems to be a topic that a lot of people really do care about and want to chime in. I can't ever remember having this many callers this early in the show. I don't want to say polarizing, but a very engaging topic. You can jump in at 855-839-1210. We have another caller on the line, Leslie from South Philly. What's up, Leslie?
Yeah, Sean, am I on the air?
Yes, you are, Leslie. How are you?
I'm great. I looked at that problem as an academic writer in different capacities as a legal writer. When I worked at the Penn Law School and a medical writer when I worked at the medical school. And so let me just encapsulate a few things that I noticed, because I wrote two articles with the then president of the American Psychiatric Association, Paul Fink, one in a law journal. And that one was with a First Amendment lawyer and Paul Fink, who had opposite viewpoints on the gratuitous violence and sex on TV that wasn't there a decade before. And I initiated these articles because I hadn't watched TV for a decade, and then I saw all this. Anyway, so I'm coming to the point of what they agreed on, because they totally disagreed on censorship, is that when parents watch with the kids and give it a context, the gratuitous sex and violence on TV, then they make sense of it, and it reduces greatly the negative effect. Now, moving on to this other thing that I noticed as I had to think up a legal medical thing for a senior seminar that I was allowed to audit as a library worker on the weekends. So they let me audit, 12 top, you know, Ivy League students, including what was his name? Alan Aminsky, who was also a psychiatrist, who was also a law student, becoming a, you know, well, anyway, so they wouldn't have let me go through the whole course. I got the top grade they could give, lead poisoning as a defense. Now, my point in that was that the poor black urban male young had the most lead poisoning, and they were the most represented in the delinquent epidemiology. You know what I mean? So, but after the age of six, it's reversible with chelation, and they should chelate everyone who's incarcerated. Okay. Because it changes behavior to frequently, illegal behavior. Okay. And, so the other, the third of three things, I was hired to write about teen pregnancy in the black urban community at the, medical school, again in psychiatry and OBGYN. And so for 2 years, I was asked to analyze data, chart and analyze data, okay, on a project long underway. And so the point with the blacks, they like black scholars, William Julius Wilson, the truly disadvantaged black. So he said that, well, what happens? See, when you had also delinquency from the sociogenic theory of the professional models for other people. Well, not,
let me just ask you a question, because I think we're getting into some pretty deep stuff here. I'm not sure that. What is the solution here to this problem, though, that you've done a lot of research? Okay. I see that you mentioned that sex on TV, violence on TV, watching that with the parents. What would you recommend then?
Okay. It's a perfect storm.
The solution.
Okay. Bad. Okay. It's a perfect storm. Okay. Now the other thing is, all the garbage and food. If you knew during COVID, a friend of mine was bringing like these meals they had, extra at the local schools. And, I mean, he just brings me stuff as a friend, even though I'm terribly able to go out.
Right. Right. But my question is, how do you fix this? How do we fix this problem, though?
So we need RFK getting people at the schools to have vertical gardens and outside gardens, making all their own food. Okay. And, then you have to, give context to all the gratuitous sex and violence, and the fact that they all have ADHD from, all these media feeds, which, you know, they all have like ADHD. They're all on these drugs.
Well, that's a big problem. You know, you mentioned that they all have ADHD, and I don't know if they all actually have it. And this is the issue, right? But you mentioned, and I think this is the point of the whole thing, Leslie, is that they are being put on these drugs, right? Because their parents are being told, your child's got autism, your child's got ADHD, your child's got ADD, your child's got this, your child's got that, drug.
And they all have suicide ideation. All the SSRIs, I also had to write about that. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, all these sorts of things have suicide ideation as a side effect. And suicide is self-murder. And then they just want to take out some people with
somebody
them.
Else. And, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that is part of the mental health crisis that I believe that. Yes. Clean up the diet, clean up and not just what you eat. But, you know, we talk about a diet, and Leslie, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. You know, not just what you eat. When you think of a diet, you know, you consume food, but you also consume content, which is kind of what she was talking about at the beginning, talking about what's on television.
Right. I think what she was trying to say, or she was trying to get at, is like food and TV. And she is right in a way where you look at TV, say, and you grew up in the 90s, Sean, so... And I grew up in the 70s, and you see the radical changes in TV in the late 80s and early 90s, where there was a lot more freedom and a lot more ways to squeeze in a lot of innuendo. And I think the first show that really had done that was NYPD Blue, where they were just taking all the risks. And now you see these other shows coming along on Netflix or streaming or wherever. And she is right. TV has changed.
It definitely has changed.
Food has changed. And kids sitting there just, you know, munching on all this stuff and playing video games. It has changed. I think I know where she was trying to get at there.
Oh, I definitely know where she's getting at. And I know what she was. I mean, she wasn't wrong. Look, when you look at what, well, again, what kids consume, whether it's right. food, whether it's drugs, whether it's content, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look, just look at TikTok, look at Instagram.
Right.
If anybody, by the way, you don't even have to be a kid. You can get on that. You can get on your phone and do what they call the death scroll. And you could be, you could literally get, I've done this and I'm not proud of it, but you can get stuck scrolling through it. Most of the times when I'm looking at stuff, it's either politics or I find videos of animals doing something funny. But I mean, if you're in the wrong algorithm, you could find stuff on there that's just awful.
Oh, absolutely.
Degeneracy in this society now is being promoted, right?
Right.
You have these musical acts. You have some of these folks, these stupid Instagram, TikTok challenges, some of the sounds, the lyrics and some of the songs. And I'm not saying we have to police speech. I think what Leslie was saying was when a parent is consuming the content with the child and can properly contextualize it and say, look, the point of this content is that what you're seeing isn't okay. Or if it's on a television show and there's a violent crime, the criminal isn't being glorified, that there's a lesson to be learned at the end of that, end of that episode, at the end of that piece of content. That's the point here. And it's unfortunate that people sitting down watching this and seeing a killer or somebody, you know, the Joker from Batman, people want to glorify. That's not the type of person you want your kid to be.
No.
Right. I've been very critical of Andrew Tate, for example. Right. Because people say that, you know, he's a positive role model for young men. No, he's not. Right. I mean, you look at this, you can listen to him for 30 seconds and say, all right, cool. He wants men to be strong again and not be kind of wussified. Fine.
Yeah.
But when you watch him for more than 30 seconds, you see that he's beating up women, that he has this nasty PhD thing he does online. It's not the PhD that you get in an Ivy League school. It's a totally different terminology. That's the problem here. Degeneracy is being promoted. You have doctors who are just throwing drugs at kids, you know, giving them, if they find something they think is a condition, right? Mm-hmm. We're to the point where RFK says 1 in 31 have autism. But the spectrum has become so broad that every single social tick, right? If somebody just doesn't like being in public, we used to call that introverted. Now we call it autistic, right? So why? Because there's no drug for introverted people, but there are drugs for autistic people. There are drugs for kids who are hyperactive just because they're kids, right? You don't have to drug a kid up for that.
No.
It's unbelievable what we're doing to
children.
And now we wonder why people are getting sick shooting up schools.
When I was a kid, I used to bounce off the walls constantly when I was a
Me
kid.
Too.
That's just the way it was. And, you know, getting back to what you said about in movies and all that, when you're younger, like my parents would explain to me, you do realize this is a movie, this is TV,
right.
this is special effects,
right.
this is not
right.
the way that the real world acts. I remember when my father took me to see Scarface as a kid. I'm 13 years old, and people who have seen Scarface, they know the whole thing. But my dad would just say, yeah, you do realize that this is an actor, this is Al Pacino, you've seen him in The Godfather, this is not the real world. It's a fun movie to watch, but some people just get so wrapped up into it and they take it too far. And one of the things that you bring up, and I deal with this a lot when I DJ a school dance, somebody will come up from the school board and say, well, you do realize the music that you're playing is very suggestive. And it's just, yes. And I'm playing edited copies. I'm playing copies
right.
that are for radio editing.
Radio
okay?
safe. Right,
for
right.
radio safe. But I guarantee you, if you pick up any of these kids' phones and go through their playlist, they're not playing the edited version. I can guarantee you that. And it is sad. And you hate to sound like you're some old man, you know, back in my day, you know, when we used to do it that way, it was different. But now these kids today, I don't understand it. You just hate to sound that way.
I'm 34 and I'm sitting here saying that, but it's the truth.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm 55 and I'm saying it.
I listened to a lot of System of a Down growing up, and I didn't realize what a lot of it was about. But there's a song, they had a song on one of their albums called Violent Pornography.
Right.
And it was literally what Leslie was describing.
Yeah.
That there is sex and degeneracy on your television and it's brainwashing people.
Absolutely.
We have promoted. Look, there's one thing to kind of, there were musical groups I'd listen to that would teach a lesson in their music. Say, don't do this or you'll wind up, you know, they've gone woke, unfortunately, but The Offspring had a song, The Kids Aren't All Right, about a neighborhood that just got destroyed, right? It was one of their biggest songs off of Americana. But you know, and they had several come out and play was about gang violence, right? There were, they had several things where it's like, these are problems in society. We have to call them out. What these groups and what these artists, what these culture icons, figures used to point out as problems are now being glorified, right? You're hearing, you know, rap, country music. They talk about drinking too much. I mean, I'm not saying we have to police speech and everything's got to be about rainbows and butterflies.
No,
you know, you're allowed to have fun. But the point is, again, this comes all the way back to the home. Are their parents, because my parents would say to me, hey, you know that song you're listening to? It's not, you know, don't do the things they're saying. I get it. It's just a song. But there are parents who will just let their sons and daughters consume this content thinking, oh, it's just a reel on social media. I don't have anything to worry about. No, you have to explain that and say, look, what this person's doing is not okay. Don't do that. Take this as a lesson of this is what you'll become if you do that.
Yeah, it's a scary world out there, a very scary world.
It is. And social media, the mental health crisis, is real. Social media has become look, there are great uses for it.
Sure.
You can find out how to make a beautiful meal on TikTok or YouTube or Instagram, but you could also find some really nasty stuff.
Absolutely.
Is censorship the answer? I'm not going to say it's the answer. I'm going to say parenting and responsibility is the answer. Get with your children and just for an hour, sit with them while they death scroll and say, whoa, how did that wind up on there? What are you looking up?
What are you looking at? What are you reading?
Because you don't just find some of these nasty videos on accident. They get served to you by these algorithms, right? You have to go down that rabbit hole first in order for that to get served to you. And that highlights another problem. So look, the mental health crisis in society is a crisis. Social media can exacerbate that crisis. Bad parenting will allow that crisis to fester. And it turns into what we're dealing with in this country today. So many different factors, so many different things to fix. Nobody wants to fix it because nobody wants to offend anybody. And so we wind up where we are right now. It's really unfortunate. All right, we're going to come back and wrap up hour two in just a little bit. We will get to Abrego Garcia, I promise, because there's a lot to say about him. And the left's really cozying up to violence and not the best people. We'll get to that in just a minute. You're listening to 1210 WPHD, Kale and Company. Sean Farish filling in until 10 a.m., where we hand it off to the great Kathy Barnett. We're back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Describing a neighborhood and a generation of kids and of people who lost their way and essentially threw their lives away. Jamie had a chance. Well, she really did. Said she dropped out, had a couple of kids. And that's the best situation out of all the people that, you know, Dexter Holland names in the song. Mark still lives at home because he's got no job, just plays guitar and smokes a lot of pot. Now think about it. You listen to that song and you hear, you know, a guy who has no job is still living home and is smoking weed all day. And you say, you don't want that to be me. Contrast that with music today, where living at home, having no job, oh, I don't have to go to work. I play guitar. I smoke pot all day. That's glorified now, right? Look, and I'm libertarian when it comes to the marijuana situation. Like I'm one of these people. You're old enough. You want to go home. You want to stay home. You want to use that. You want to play guitar. As long as you're productive in society, you're not hurting anybody else, I don't really care. But this is basically about, look, you chose to throw your life away. Jay committed suicide. Brandon OD'd and died. What the hell is going on? It's what he says in a song. Apply that to today. What the hell is going on? And it really is a shame because, unfortunately, the offspring, this group, aside from Jimmy Paredes, I believe, is their former drummer who refused to get vaccinated. These are all smart guys. They were. And they unfortunately now are on the side of those who are contributing to what the hell is going on. So the Greeks wrote tragic plays about this. All right, we got a couple more calls because this has been a fascinating conversation. It's been a polarizing and engaging topic. I wouldn't say polarizing. Everyone seems to be pretty much in line, but very strong opinions about it. School shooting, keeping the kids safe. Let's go to Ed in Del Ran. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning. Listen, Sean Farris, I want to say you'll never kick anybody in the keister. So I say to you and everyone listening, happy Easter.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, I'll tell you what. One guy couldn't even play a checker game. That was Joe Bite Me. And Donald Trump, he can play the masterful chess game all day long. He's doing a great job.
That's right. I think he walked the left into a trap with this Abrego Garcia, where they came out, they called him a Maryland man, Maryland father, great guy. And then the Department of Justice dropped all that information out that said, you may want to rethink that. And it really looks like the left stepped in some doo-doo here.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. Unfortunately, that's what has to happen to prove a point. But thanks for the call, Ed. And you have a happy Easter and a safe Easter as well. Okay.
Thank you.
Ed from Del Ran. We always appreciate it. He's always involved. We love him. I always hear from Ed on the station. He's great. We have Chris also in Blairtown. What's up, Chris?
Hello,
Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
You mentioned earlier about the school shootings and the armed guards in school. I definitely support that. But one thing you did touch on is that the justice system. Nobody is afraid of the justice system.
Bingo.
To me, if you are convicted of murder one without any doubt whatsoever, you should be taken from the courtroom to the block wall and done. No death,
you know what?
No appeals, done.
You know what? You have a strong case. I will counter. I would say maybe leave room for appeals just because it's due process. Okay, but I will say this. You are highlighting a very important point that people don't fear consequences anymore, right? There are people in prison who are treated better than folks who are not in prison, right? I mean, I'm not saying we have to be inhumane, right? But it shouldn't feel like summer camp, you know?
I agree. And one other thing that I lost my train of thought. Damn it.
go ahead.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. I enjoy your show. Please substitute for Kale and Company in the future.
Thank you, Chris. We greatly appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Chris brings up a really good point, and this is part of what I mean when I say laws don't matter unless they're enforced. And the enforcement of the law has to be meaningful, right? Look at what happened in New York and in a lot of blue cities across the country, but really New York with cashless bail. I mean, they're enforcing their laws, but the enforcement doesn't mean anything, right? Think of it this way. I mean, this is a little different than, committing murder, right? But speeding, okay? I make this example all the time because you can't relate to the general public and go, well, I killed this guy and but we all speed. Okay. Guilty 100%. I do it. I've gotten tickets for it. I still do it. I'm going to get pulled over again in the future, I'm sure, and have to pay the fine. Okay. And then calm down because I don't want to keep having points put on my license. That's what I'm talking about, the consequences. But if there were no points, there was no, exacerbator no bigger punishment for having a moving violation on your license and your insurance rates don't go up. And, if the fine wasn't so much money, or if there was really this, hey, you get pulled over by a cop and they say, don't do it again, but there's no consequences. People aren't going to be afraid to get pulled over, right? Why don't I want to be pulled over? I don't want to have to pay hundreds of dollars because I was speeding. I don't want to have to pay more money on my car insurance. I don't want to have to stop and not get to where I'm going in time, which is the least of the problems at that point. Right. But if there were no real consequences for moving violations, speeding, etc., everyone would do it and nobody would care if they got pulled over. They'd be like, all right, I got pulled over. It's 15 minutes and then on we go. You don't have to worry about it. You get caught doing it too many times, you could lose your license. That is a severe consequence. you get caught going too many miles per hour over the limit, and it becomes a criminal violation. Right? Another example, the 3 days ago is tax day. My least favorite day of the year, right? If it was optional, and by optional, I mean like there were no consequences for not paying taxes, I wouldn't pay them. But they could repossess things. They could garnish your paychecks. They could throw you in prison. But if those weren't associated repercussions for not paying your taxes, I'll be the first one to tell you, I wouldn't pay my taxes. I just wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't do it because I'd get a warm and fuzzy feeling that some kid in Iraq gets to watch Sesame Street. I wouldn't pay him. But the consequences act as a deterrent. And what Chris brought up saying, not enough people or nobody in this fears the justice system, he's not wrong. The system has become soft. The consequences, if they're levied, aren't severe enough. And in many cases, the consequences for these crimes, like in New York, cashless bail, you can assault somebody on the street. You could be booked by the cops and then let right back out. And if you don't show up for court, then you don't show up for court. And the whole cycle starts over and over and over again. And that's the problem. At the end of the day, deterrent, right? What do they say? Sometimes they say defense is your best offense, right? And on the other case, offense is your best defense, right? So if you're aggressive, it's the best way to stop things from happening. You score a lot of runs. It's better than having a shutdown defense because no one's going to be able to outscore you. But at the same point, your defense in society is the deterrent. The deterrent defends you against people committing crimes. If the folks who are getting ready to commit a crime understand that if they're caught, the consequences are something that they don't want to risk having to get themselves into, that normally deters people from committing that crime. But if the system is levying consequences on these perpetrators, on these criminals that aren't severe, they're not afraid to get caught committing those crimes. In the case of school shootings, are we punishing these people enough? And is there a strong enough way right now on these campuses? Are there strong enough protections in place to deter people from committing these acts? The answer is no, because they keep happening. And the way to stop them from happening is not to take guns away, because criminals don't care about gun laws because they're criminals. You need a strong deterrent. You need severe consequences. You need examples made of these people. And you need it to look like it's something that's not going to be easy to do. Right now, it is, unfortunately, they're easy targets. As Chris in the YouTube chat said before, Chris Eppolito said in the YouTube chat, you have a gun-free zone sign. All that tells a criminal is the path of least resistance is right here. It's that unfortunate. And that's got to stop. We need stronger deterrence. We need stronger protections in these schools. We need to keep the kids safe, not just from gun violence, too, but from the mental health epidemic that is destroying society, from very, very malicious content on their social media apps. Parenting has got to come back and play a role again. The culture needs to kind of get itself back in check. Stop glorifying degeneracy. Go back to the days where not having a job, living at home, playing guitar and smoking weed all day is not the life you want to live. I don't care if you do that. If you're a productive member of society, you could be a Wall Street executive. You could be making hand over fist money like you wouldn't believe. But if you're a degenerate, if you're throwing your life away because you heard somebody on some song or on some TV show say, this is the life you want. You could just do nothing all day. You could live on food stamps. You could play a guitar. You could smoke weed and you could, you know, have eat McDonald's. Oh, that's not the life you want. We got to get back to teaching people that's not the life they want. All right, we'll get into hour three. I remember I said there's an hour or two. We're kicking the can down the road, but that's okay. Abrigo Garcia, Maryland man. We're going to do this in hour three. We're going to do it. I promise. We're getting to Abrigo Garcia. We'll talk about what the left stepped in with this one because it's embarrassing. We got all the receipts. We're back after this on 1210 WPHT. Sean Farish filling in for Kale and Company up until 10 o'clock where we hand it off to the great Kathy Barnett. We'll be right back as we start hour three after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.